Welcome to the Analytics of Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Covering more receivers here, Kadarius Toney out of the University of Florida. With Toney, he's an interesting guy because I think this is much more of an NFL over, you know, we'll call it the analytics crowd or I guess that's the easiest thing. I mean, you constantly see him going up in NFL drafts in places where I think that largely the analytics community, the dynasty community thinks it's probably overvalued. I find those situations very interesting. And I think that when those happen, they present unique value opportunities. Again, we're trying to capture some profiles. And again, his is a little bit limited. And I would largely agree with the idea that he is not the greatest profile in the world. But again, when you sort of look at it, you're like, all right, let's compare it to some other ones, and we can say it's, you know, it could be attractive at a certain cost. So for him, it's a, you know, 27 BMI, 6 foot, 193, so checks out there, 21-year-old, 20% breakout, 39th percentile in terms of yards per team passing attempt, 2.56 yards per route run, 22.2% college dominator rating. So again, that's not great. 102 speed score. He was a 40-inch vert. That's 92nd percentile. 136 broad jump. That's 99th percentile. I think ultimately when you look at it, he ran 4.41. I do think he's probably quicker than he is ultimately fast. Like, he gets up to speed really fast. And then I'm not sure he has like the absolutely electric top gear. So that would just be the thing that I would say. But I think he gets up to speed quick. Only 3 drops on 123 catchable balls. 84.8 receiving grades. So that's pretty good. 43% contested catch rate. That's about the median. You know, PFF's note on him was top speed doesn't match. Doesn't match his burst, right? Which I think that jumps in there. And I saw some, I'll get in a second. I saw some of the stuff that on tape that I think that matched up. So I watch all the tape and then I sort of go back and look at notes and just compare. Again, I'm just an amateur at this. And then, you know, you sort of get some more expert views and can sort of round out and contextualize some of your views. I thought the best quote about Toney was from Matt Waldman. And it says, quote, he's on the razor's edge of control, which is a fascinating way to look at it. He's a very explosive player, almost to the point of it can be out of control. But if he can sort of harness it, it's pretty electric. So that's the thing that I'm interested in. I get how, you know, I get how teams could view him. I get how teams could value him. You know, when you sort of look at him and Jalen Waddle, again, talking about situations on arbitrage, I think they're similar types of players. And when you ultimately look at him, like, he has a better college resume than Jalen Waddle does. So if there's going to be similar pedigree, but a big gap in terms of rookie drafts, rookie draft ranking, rookie draft, ADP, that sort of thing. I think that's one that's really, really could be an interesting arbitrage opportunity. So Grinding the Mocks has him right now. He's going 24th, and that is wide receiver 4 in this class. So he's going behind Devonta Smith, behind Jalen Waddle by 14 expected draft ranks. And that's something that, again, I sort of look at those guys and I say, huh, if we're going to take bets on first round guys, we'll definitely trade that spread. So that would be the thing that I would look to do sort of at an initial 30,000 foot view of this class. When you look at DLF's most recent ADP, we don't have rookie draft stuff yet because these are all mocks, but you know, we can sort of take it with a grain of salt. Wide receiver 10, again, that's interesting. If we're going wide receiver 4 in terms of pedigree, wide receiver 10 in terms of draft cost, that's probably going to be a target situation. Similar in the vein of like Brandon Ayuk was last year. I think that could be a situation where, hey, we're going to just collect falling pedigree. I liked Ayuk's profile better than Kadarius Toney's. I get Kadarius Toney. I sort of get him. I get it. It would be the easiest thing that I can say. I think he's smooth. Saw a smooth catch in the perimeter, moved back to the inside, trying to make run after the catch. Some of the stuff he's almost lax when he's running. And he does sort of, I don't think, get all of the positional skill set stuff. So some of the route running stuff's a little, it leaves some to be desired, which you would expect from someone that wasn't particularly productive. Explosive after the catch, saw him elevate on a vertical route. He sees some end around stuff, gadget stuff all over the field. Very tough to tackle, fluid in his routes. Again, I think the route running's hit or miss would sort of be the thought that I would say. He hit one up for a deep ball on a double move that was just something to watch. Can catch ball. Saw him catch one down the seam, elevate up above. The highlights are good, right? But I do think, the things that kept coming back to me were some of the easy stuff, some of the easy route running stuff just didn't come naturally to him. But I think maybe that's teachable. Again, I don't like to project that, but there's stuff that he can do that other people you just can't teach. So, I sort of get how the NFL thinks about these guys in terms of traits, and I think Toney has them. So it doesn't shock me that he's going to be going up there in the draft. Saw him make good adjustment to the ball, explosive, making defenders miss, and can string them together too. You see some guys that can just make one or two tackle breaks and on an initial move, and then can don't have it. He can sort of put it together, which that's always the question of like dynamic athlete versus actual functional NFL player. That's functional NFL player to me. The off balance stuff. I watched four different games of him just to, I actually watched five different games of him just to try and get a full picture of him. The constantly off balance stuff that showed up. And is some of that skill stuff? Is it? Yeah, I think so. In terms of some of the route running stuff, it wasn't great, but some of it is like, again, playing on that full throttle, like just kind of bending control. I sort of get it. I totally get it with him. Killer with his ball in his hands. Is that just the bottom line note that I had ultimately on him? So the player interests me. It's going to be the cost, right? The cost of the player is really what's going to interest me, I think, ultimately the most. So that's going to be the situation. Again, if he's going to be wide receiver four, is that something we're going to say? If he's going to be wide receiver four in the NFL draft, but wide receiver eight and ADP, like that's probably going to be a hold your nose and take the pick somewhere in the second round of super flex drafts. That might even be early third round, right? That's something you just kind of have to do. Would sort of be the thought if he's going to be a first round guy. If he's not, I think he drops down a little bit further. You look at some of the other guys in the class, like Bateman and Moore, have similar or have better profiles at sort of with similar pedigree. If they were both second round guys, for example, where you probably break ties in favor of them. Whereas on the, if Tony's sort of a poor man's first round wide receiver, like that's interesting. And especially that could be to a team that is, that is contending. It wouldn't shock for him to be in the draft range of Kansas City, for example. Again, that might be a situation where we'll probably end up being off him because he's going to be expensive. But you sort of get the idea. I mean, he might be landing with a team, in the later part of the first round that could have a good quarterback situation. And when you say, you sort of look at the some of the interesting things on the quarterback situation, it's almost perverse, right? Devonta Smith, the comps were Emmanuel Sanders, Marvin Harrison, right? How many Hall of Fame quarterbacks can you play with those guys? If you sort of get Devonta Smith in the early part of the first round, not as many, right? Not as many up there. When you sort of get Kadarius Toney at the back end of the first round, like, all right, now there's some interesting stuff. I mean, could a team, like, I don't know, for example, a team that I think needs some perimeter help, New Orleans, right? That's an interesting spot with some of the stuff that they can do. Green Bay, that's an interesting spot at 29. I wouldn't necessarily rule Buffalo out. Baltimore's probably not as good of a spot. Cleveland's probably not in, but Pittsburgh, that wouldn't be terribly, terribly surprising. Tennessee has a need, that could sort of fit with some of the stuff that they want to do in the run after the catch stuff, So you sort of look at these and you could say there's some interesting landing spots down there that you could say ultimately, are the Jets in play? That's a situation where it's probably not quite as good of a spot, but you can see how in that range of the draft that there might be some need developing. So I could see him be in that range. And again, I think he offers something unique. So he's definitely one we're going to be watching sort of where he is on cost. If he's going to be a later second round pick and he's going to be a first round NFL draft pick, I think we got to be on that. All right. Terrace Marshall's the other one out of LSU. Terrace Marshall's really interesting because he's got the analytics community just kind of all over themselves. I like the player, and I think that I like the profile. He is elevated to a point where, hey, he's wide receiver 2 in this class. Maybe don't love all of that cost, right? If we can sort of rank him up there and take him at wide receiver 5, that's better. Are we going to take him in the mid-first round or later first round of a rookie draft? That might be a different situation. I thought he was pretty smooth. I thought he catches the ball well, drops a lot of balls. I thought they were primarily concentration drops. You just watch him and he'll be constantly sort of looking up the field, doing a peek look-see, kind of get the head turning as the ball's at his hands and drops it. But he's kind of effortless when catching the ball. It's a weird conundrum with him. He's got good hands. He just drops the ball. It's a concentration job. So I have little concern about that. I think it's more of he just needs more reps and sort of more concentration. I don't think that that's a fatal flaw at all. I did see him, some of this stuff, it's tough to tell with these guys. Are they loafing, or is it just that's the design of the offense and some of these new age college offenses? I did see some of that, which is just, a little bit of a cautionary note, but again, he I saw a contested route, multiple contested balls, making really good catches, whether that's one-handed catches in traffic, deep down the field, along the sideline, in tight windows, really comfortable sort of navigating the interior of the defense, catching balls, sort of getting upfield, moving well. I really like the player. I think he's pretty fluid. That's really the big thing with him. I said a couple of concentration drops I did see, but there's stuff that he does with his hands that you just can't really learn. Making one-handed balls, one-handed catches. I think some of the technique stuff on the ball tracking could be probably better. He beat a guy, ends up being a touchdown, probably tougher than it needed to be because he sort of looked back for 15 yards while the ball was in the air. Whereas if he sort of put his head down, ran, just maximize the separation, it might be an easy standing there touchdown. He made it harder than it needed to be, ultimately made the play. But, that's something that I think you can probably learn a little bit too. Worked through the scramble drill really well. It just kept working. And some of these guys you'll watch and you'll just see guys will sit down or just it'll be unnatural. He just constantly sort of works across the field, makes himself very valuable. When you sort of look back on some of these other guys, where there were, the De'Ami Brown, for example, when he was constantly getting his guy picked off, right? That's stuff that with Terrace Marshall, you don't need to worry about. So he's pretty reliable in that sense. I just think of you put those two guys with Aaron Rodgers, and Aaron Rodgers is going to sour on that De'Ami Brown nonsense pretty quick. He's going to really like working with a guy like Terrace Marshall. So that's really the thing about it. And you could see that it's almost got that, I hate player comps, but almost that Davante Adams took a little bit of time to blossom, but ultimately ended up being really good. You could see Terrace Marshall have some of that stuff where he can be frustrating. It'll be kind of annoying. And then ultimately it's Rodgers gets it. You could sort of see that sort of career arc with him. again, more game stuff here. His catching ability, I think it's worth noting, is very, like, he can vary too. Like, it'll be like, he's fine catching the ball off his body. He's fine catching the ball low. Like, it's pretty good in terms of all that stuff. I think he moves, like I said, I think he moves really well. You're going to see stuff about the drops. They pop up a lot, but it is stuff that I think is largely, concentration stuff. One of the big things, 82% contested catch rate. That's outrageously good. So you really like to see that. 35th percentile in terms of yards per team passing attempt. That's not great. You can sort of see some of that with Justin Jefferson being there, Ja'Marr Chase being there. You know, like, that's some of that stuff. It's like, all right, like, those things can kind of cloud you out a little bit. He broke out at 20 years old for both a 20% and a 30% breakout. So you like to see that. He's younger. He's going to be 21 years old and entering the NFL. So you like to see that. 1.98 yards per route run. That's 29th percentile. So that just tracks a little bit behind the yards per team pass attempt. So ultimately that's it. I mean, Waldman likes him, promising route runner, slippery mover, has the ability to make, to play inside and outside with the ability to come secondary option and then ultimately a leading role in an offense. So, I really like when tape matches up with profile. And with the profile on him, like, is there stuff that you could sort of quibble with? Absolutely. But ultimately, I just think that the early breakout stuff is really the most critical stuff. And when you look at it, it checks out, right? It does check out. And some of the stuff too with his offense, like, it was less good this past year. Obviously, you didn't have Burrow. You took a step back, all that stuff. I'm fine. Do I like him? Do I like paying wide receiver 2 in this class? No. But do I think he's definitely, like, in the top? You know, we'll see how the pedigree all sorts out. But if he's a first round guy, I mean, yeah, I think he's going to be a top 3 or 4 on my board type of player. He's sort of lurking right there. When you sort of go back and look at it, over the past, there wasn't a ton of data on him and grinding the mocks and, like, you know, early on in the process. But when you sort of look at it, took a little bit of a drop in February into March, really sharp uptick recently. So that's matching up with pro day stuff and, you know, so that late gathering information. As the market gets more efficient, you can absolutely see him sort of lingering right on the back end of the first round. So when you look at it, he is 31st in terms of expected draft position right now. That is 5th in the class behind Ja'Marr Chase, Devonta Smith, Jalen Waddle, Kadarius Toney. Again, I'm recording this like mid-April, so just a couple days before it was released, so I don't expect any major movement. He's a player I think we definitely need to be on. I could definitely see, given his profile, him going 2 in this class ahead of Smith, ahead of Waddle, just because I could sort of see the argument with the profile. And I think that the market's kind of on the idea that Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle have concerns in their profile. So I can see that happening. Again, do we want to pay that? That's a question that we'll have to decide sort of once we see the rest of the class. But I can definitely see the argument for him in the top 3 to 4 of this class for sure. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we will talk again very soon.